Take your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Haggai. We're going to finish up the book tonight, only two little chapters, 38 verses. And I'll remind you just of a couple things that we talked about last week. The name Haggai means festival or festive or festival of Jehovah. And 26 times in the 38 verses that make up this book, these two chapters, there's a phrase that says something, "Thus saith the Lord." And so Haggai was not speaking on his own behalf. He was delivering God's message. And so every time he spoke, he said, this is not a message from me. This is a message from God. And I hope every time you come to this place, whether you said in a Sunday school lesson or you said in an auditorium, that you have the same attitude. I'm just a voice that God uses. The message is His, and it comes from Him. And we need to pay attention to it and listen to it as it does come from Him. And again, just remind you that Haggai was a prophet to Judah, and especially to Jerusalem and to that remnant of Jewish people that had come back out of the captivity in Babylon to rebuild the temple. And again, as I mentioned last week, this book covers 4 months, just 4 months of time, four messages, each one dated. And the first message we looked at last week, which was in chapter 1, it was delivered on the sixth month, first day of the sixth month. And the message was, again, basically to the Jews, rebuild the temple. Build the house, as Haggai says, but rebuild the temple. And as we talked about last week, God had reminded them that because they had not done that, because they had not done what they'd were come back to do, they had not done what King Cyrus sent them back to do. You know, he was the Persian king that said, hey, if you want to go back to Jerusalem, in fact, God has told me to rebuild the house in Jerusalem, and I'm letting everybody, every one of his people that want to go back with the instructions to rebuild the temple. And as we talked about last week, God reminded the people, hey, you've missed some blessings because you've been horsing around and you haven't done what I sent you back to do. In fact, he says, you've sown much, but you brought in a little. You have eaten, but it's not enough. You have taken drinks, but you haven't been filled. You're clothed, but you're not warm. And you earn wages, but it's like taking them and putting them in a bag that has holes in it. In other words, it doesn't go as far as it should go. And by the way, you know, God still has the power to do that. He can take that pot of oil, that little pot of oil and that barrel of grain, and he can stretch it beyond our imagination, or we can make plenty of money, and because we're disobedient to him, he can make it like we're putting it into bags with holes in it. It won't go very far. God can still do that. And that's what he was telling his people. Because you haven't got about building the rebuilding the temple, I have not put my hand of blessing on it, and you have little. And they asked why, and he says, because I've blown on it. That's the words that he's used. And he says, I brought drought. I brought drought on the land, drought on the mountains, on the corn, on the new wine, on the oil, on the cattle, and on the labor of your hands. I have not blessed it. I have not multiplied it because my house still lies in ruins. You fixed yours up. Remember, we talked about it. They ran to their sealed houses, their lavish, well-appointed houses, and yet you've left mine in ruins. And so what God is saying is, get up and get busy and rebuild my house. Rebuild the temple. And so that was the first message last that we looked at last week. Now, tonight we're going to look at the last three, and they comprise chapter 2, and there's three of them. Number one, I am with you. I am with you, God says. Number two, I will bless you. I'm going to bless you. And number three, I will make you. And I'll tell you what that means in a minute. He actually says, we'll wait till we get there, but I will make you. Okay, so the second message that Haggai delivers is in chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, and the message again is, I am with you. Now, let me just give you a little preface before we start reading the verses. Some of the older Jews that had come back out of captivity were actually old enough to have seen the temple that Solomon had built before it was torn down by the Babylonians. And they were comparing that temple as it used to be, the one that Solomon built, they were comparing it to the one that they were in the process of building, okay? And they basically, as they looked at the two of them and compared them, it says there's no comparison. The one we're building now in no way measures up to what we had before. And so they were getting a little bit discouraged, okay? And so this second message was a message of encouragement that said to the people, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. So if you look at chapter 2, verse 1, in the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying. Okay, now let me just remind you of the date so we can just keep the dates sort of clear. The first message came in the sixth month on the first day. And you remember it took a while for the people to respond to that message, because we ended up chapter 1 by saying, in the 4 20th day of the sixth month, the people began to rise up and build. So again, the message came, hey, get up and get busy. It came the first day of the sixth month, and on the 24th day of the sixth month, the people started building, okay? This second message came the 21st day of the seventh month, okay? So they had been in the process of rebuilding the temple for about a month, okay? Verse 2. And by the way, again, he says verse 1 of chapter 2, came the word of the Lord. Again, Haggai was reminding them, this is not me talking, this is God talking. This message is not from me, it is from God. Verse 2, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying. And so this message that was coming was to the governor, that's what Zerubbabel was, and to the high priest, that's what Joshua was, and to all the people. Verse 3, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? Those that were old enough to see the house that Solomon built. And Haggai's still directing his message. He says, what God is saying, I know some of you saw the house of Solomon. Some of you were here in Jerusalem when that house was still standing. And how do ye see it now? You saw Solomon's and you see it now. Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? See, God knew what they were thinking. There were people that had saw the temple that Solomon built, and they saw the temple that they were rebuilding, and when they compared the two, they said, this is nothing. It's absolutely nothing in comparison to what we had before. And they were discouraged. I mean, we had this magnificent, beautiful place that Solomon built, and now we see what we're rebuilding. And when you compare the two, there's no comparison. The one we're building now in no way stacks up to what we had before. And what God was saying is, I know because of that you're discouraged. I know you're a little downhearted. I know you're a little downcast. And I was thinking, I'm glad that we have a God that knows when we get discouraged. Aren't you? I'm glad we have a God that knows when we get downcast. I mean, and it happens to most of us. We look at the circumstances in our life, and sometimes they just seem to crowd in on us. And as we look at those circumstances, if we're not careful, sometimes those circumstances will get us down. And we'll do the same thing that these people that were thinking. They say, well, what's the use? I mean, look at what we're building. It no way compares to what we had before. What's the use of even trying? What's the use of even going on and building? And if we're not careful, we'll fall into that same trap. We'll say to ourselves, you know, we used to be a Christian nation. We used to be a nation that honored God. We used to be a nation that was known for our values. Look at us now. I mean, abortion and homosexuality and trying to take God out of everything. Just trying to divorce God out of everything. And if we're not careful, we'll get so discouraged that we'll say, well, what's the use? Why should we even try? I mean, if we're not careful, we'll feel just like the Jews did in this day where they said, we used to be a mighty nation. I mean, the kings that we had ruled the world. And here in this city, we had a house of God that was beyond description. It was so lavish and so beautiful. But look at what we've got now. We've just come out of captivity. We're still under foreign rule. And this house that we're trying to rebuild, comparison to what we had before, is absolutely nothing. And God comes to people that were thinking like that with this second message, and it reminds them of three things. Three things. Verse 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. Don't get so discouraged that you quit working, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. And again, notice, he first said to the rulers, he said to the governor, be strong. He said to the high priest, be strong. You be the example that you need to be to the people. And if the leaders are discouraged, the people are going to be discouraged. If the leaders are encouraged, the people are going to be encouraged. If the leaders don't think it can be done, the people aren't going to think it can be done. But if the leaders think it can be done, then the people will think it can be done. And so he was talking to the governor, and he was talking to the high priest, and he said, be strong. And then he said to the people, you be strong. Don't get discouraged. Keep working, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. He used that name that reminded them that he is the Lord of hosts, that everything is under his command, that he is omnipotent. There is nothing that he cannot do. And God said, I want you to remember, I'm on your side. I am with you. So don't get discouraged. Doesn't matter what circumstances look like. Doesn't matter. Yeah, don't worry about what the house that you're building now looks like compares to the one that Solomon built. And we're going to talk about why in a minute. But God said, don't get discouraged. Don't quit working, because I am with you. Then look at verse 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. What he was saying is, not only am I with you, but the covenant that I made with you as a people when you came out of Egypt, when I told you I was going to bring you into this land and give it to you, and you were going to rule the earth from this place, that promise is still good. It hasn't been breached. It hasn't been broken. What I promised to Abraham as he looked forward to it, and what I promised to Isaac as he looked forward to it, and what I promised to Jacob as he looked forward to it, and what I promised to Moses when I sent him down there to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, and what I promised to Joshua as he led the people into the promised land, and what I promised to King David, and what I promised to King Solomon, I'm not going to back up on one of those promises. I'm going to keep every single one of them. And then notice what he says. And I'm going to read verses 6 through 9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this later house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. What he was saying, yeah, you look at the circumstances and you think in comparison to what you had before, you got nothing. But I'm going to tell you something. This house that you're building is going to be greater than the one that Solomon built, because in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. I'm going to shake the land and the sea, and I am going to put my glory into this place, and it is going to fill this place, and I'm going to rule the world, the earth from this place, and it's going to be a time of peace. And that time is going to come when Jesus Christ comes back and rules. It will be a time of peace. And he told the people it's going to happen in a little while. Now listen to me. When circumstances seem to envelop us and we are tempted to be discouraged, we need to remember this powerful message that Haggai delivered to those people. And we need to remember the same three things. Number one, God will keep his promises. He promised if we ask him, he would save us and give us everlasting life. And anybody that says that when we get saved, life doesn't last everlasting is calling God a liar. I don't mean to be mean tonight, but sometimes I just get disturbed about people that don't understand that when God says something's everlasting, it's everlasting. It's eternal. If I could do something to lose it, you bet your bottom dollar I'd lose it. If my salvation depended on something that I had to do, it would not be everlasting life. But my salvation does not depend on something that I have to do. I don't have to hang on. I don't have to be good to keep it. I should be good, but not to keep my salvation, because my salvation is not dependent on me being good. It's not dependent on me hanging on. It is dependent on what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. It's the only thing it depends on. And I have life everlasting. He promised me that. He's not going to breach his promise. He promised that he would take care of me. That I don't need to worry about the things that I need. That he's going to meet those needs. That he's going to take care of me. He promised to answer my prayer. I mean, I could go on down the list. I don't have enough time tonight. But every one of the promises of God, when you start to get discouraged, remember you got a God in heaven that's going to keep every one of his promises. Every single one of them. When you want to get discouraged, remember he is with us. When we got saved, a part of God moved in. The Holy Spirit moved in. And he says, I'll never leave you alone. I'll never depart from you. And John tells us, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Satan just think he's winning now. Hey, is he going to be surprised. He hadn't got a chance. I mean, Darwin, you sing that song about fighting evil, and that's what we should be doing. But I tell you, one day, evil's going to be put under the feet of our Savior. He should have a good idea, but I don't know if he does or not. But he's going to be put under the feet of Jesus. So, he'll keep his promises. He's always with us. And one day, the King is coming back. One day, this heaven and earth and the land and the seas will shake, and he will come to set up his rule. Now, by the way, it's not the next time he's coming. Next time he's coming, he's going to pull us all away. We're going to be taken out of this place. But the second time he comes, he's going to come as King, Lord of hosts, King of kings, Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. And so when you want to get discouraged, when Satan tempts you to get discouraged, and by the way, I've told several people, you know, I didn't, until you study these books and really dig deep and find out what they're saying, you miss things like this. What a wonderful passage of scripture to go back to when you feel like, what's the use of going on? And you feel like you want to get discouraged. We have a God that's always with us, that will keep every one of his promises, and one day his son is going to come back and set up his kingdom on this earth. So what he says to the people, I say to all of us, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Be strong and work. Just like Haggai told the Jews, hey, there's a project to get done. There's a house to be rebuilt. We've been sent back to build the temple. Let's get at it. I will say to us tonight, there's a work for us to do. There's men and women and boys and girls that need to hear the story of Jesus. There's men and women and boys and girls that need to get saved and need to get baptized and need to get taught the same things that we have been taught. And God promises us in Matthew chapter 28, if we're busy doing those things, lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the world. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, message number 3 starts in verse 10. This message, it goes through verse 19, and the message is, I will bless you. I will bless you. We talked a little bit about this last week. But look at it, verse 10. In the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, okay, again, came the word of the Lord, not Haggai's message, God's message. This comes about 2 months after the second message. Second message was in the 7th, in the 21th, in the 7th month, in the 21st, day 21 of the 7th month. This comes month 9, 24th day. So, about 2 months after the second message, about 3 months after they started rebuilding the temple, okay, which was the 6th month around the 20th. You see, some of the people were beginning to say, well, for 3 months now, we've been doing what God told us to do. When's he going to start blessing us? I mean, we're involved in the rebuilding project and the temple's starting to take shape, but he hadn't started blessing us yet. And God reminds them in this third message that all the good that they were doing at its best was still bad. He asked them a couple of questions to get them thinking about it. Verse 11, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in his skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. Isaiah said it another way. He said, all our righteousnesses, in God's sight, are as filthy rags. The best that we have to offer to God in his sight is still vile. And what God was saying is, hey, I'm not going to bless you because you're good. I'm going to bless you because I'm good. Get it? Get this? God doesn't bless us because we're good. He blesses us because he's good. Let me read verse 15 through 19. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10, when one came to the press vat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, but there were but 20, I smote you with blasting, with mildew, and with hail, and all the labors of your hands, yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea. As yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth? He said, hey, when you started laying the foundation, I mean, these trees haven't brought forth to you. But from this day will I bless you. Well, God was saying, look, you turned away from me. I had to punish you. You came looking for 20 heaps and you left with 10. You came looking for 50 vessels and left with 20. Because I sent blasting and mildew and hail, and you still didn't turn to me. So I had to pronounce judgment on you. I had to pronounce punishment. And that punishment, I told you, was going to last 70 years. 70 years. And again, I thought I'd have time to go through it tonight, but I'm not going to have time to go through the dates with you tonight. But the 24th day of this 9th month in the 2nd year of King Darius was the very end to the day of those 70 years. The very day of the 70 years. And God says, now I'm going to bless you. Now I'm going to bless you. Again, not because you're good, but because I'm good. Same thing's true today. Blessings of God don't come because we're good. They come because he's good. If we got what we deserved, we'd get no blessings from God and we'd be in hell. But he showed us mercy. He did not give us what we deserved. The blessings of God are because of his grace. And grace is getting something we don't deserve. And so we are blessed by God, not because we're good. I mean, if we got what we deserved, we'd be in hell tonight. But he didn't give us what we deserved. He gave us what we didn't deserve in an act of grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. Grace, grace, God's grace. That's why he blesses us, because of his grace. Okay, real quickly, the fourth message starts in verse 20 and goes down through the end of the chapter. And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai in the 4th and 20th day of the month. So same day as the third message, same day. And again, it's the word of the Lord saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. Yeah, what God was saying, hey, and again, this message was to the governor, to Zerubbabel. He says, I'm going to bring down all the nations of the earth. They're going to fall. Not one of them will be able to stand. And he says, in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. I wasn't talking to Zerubbabel as the man. He was talking to Zerubbabel as the representative of the line of David. Okay? He said, I'm going to make you a signet. Signet was a ring that a king wore or gave to those that served him that represented their authority that was given to them by the king. And what this day that he was talking about, he says, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel. Well, he's talking about when Christ was going to come. And he was going to rule this earth and set up his kingdom and reign. And he's going to be like a signet, a ring that will imprint all nations with his majesty, with his will and ways, with his perfect image, and his perfect ideals. And one day that will happen. We still look forward to that day. It may come while we're still on this earth. Or it may come years after we die and in heaven, and so we'll come back to with Jesus when he comes and sets up his kingdom. But he says, one day, the heaven and earth is going to shake. All those that think they are powerful are going to become powerless. And all those that think they're something are going to become nothing. And every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. That day is closer than it's ever been. I'm not setting any dates. Don't know the date. God knows the date. Nobody else. But it's getting closer. And we don't need to be so discouraged that we quit. We need to get up and work. Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Let's stand together and have a word of prayer. Thank you for being here tonight. And we'll be dismissed.